In session of the House Committee on Workforce and Economic Development, we're in session. I would like to kind of query the committee members here. We have several people in the audience for our public hearing, and I don't want to keep them waiting, so I'm just trying to determine the order, whether we're going to do the work session first or not. This was a bill that we had heard before concerning how long the public notice was going to be of a closure of an airport. We had a fairly long discussion about that, and we have an amendment back to, Rick, is it 6 months?
Yeah, 180 days.
Yes, changes to from 120 to 180 days.
Okay, and so your pulse beat, would this take long to handle this?
No.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 139A. Rick, if you would, please.
Just briefly, this does require operators of public airports in order to notify the Department of Aviation 120 days prior to the permanent closure of the airport. You do have the amendments before you that would change it from 120 days to 180 days.
All right. Thank you very much. Committee members, what's your pleasure on this?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 139.
Dash two.
Dash two.
Dash two or dash one?
Our most recent revision here this morning would be a dash two amendment, which...
I will correct the motion to the dash two.
Okay. Representative Dahlem, thank you very much. He moves the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 139. Discussion on his motion. I'm not seeing any. Is there any objection to the adoption of these amendments? Not seeing any, not hearing any. They are adopted. Representative Dahlem.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 139 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you.
Representative Dahlem moves Senate Bill 139 as amended with the A2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion. I'm not seeing any. On the question, Barry, would you please call the roll?
Representative Barnard.
He is excused.
Representative Dell.
Aye.
Representative Drott.
Aye.
Representative Bowlby.
He is excused.
Vice Chair Lynn.
Aye.
Vice Chair Riley.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Votes aye. Senate Bill 139, having received the majority vote, is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, committee members. And with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 139, the work session on Senate Bill 139. And next up.
Are we going to do a consent calendar on this?
Oh, thank you very much. It was a little hasty there. We'll reopen. Gentlemen, is this worthy of a consent calendar?
You bet.
I think.
Oh, gee, I don't know. Yeah, I think.
Thank you very much. Whoever says no gets to carry the bill. it's on the consent calendar, and we will close that work session. Thank you very much. I'd like to now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 492A, and we have... several people signed up this morning. I'd like to call up first, please, Brad Darcy. And also, if at the same time, Senator Len Hannon, if we could, please. Brenda, we're not going to leave you out there all alone, too. Come on up.
Senator, glad to see you here.
Thank you,
yes.
Mr. Chairman.
That's been some time. Thank you.
Good morning to all three of you, and welcome to our committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Len Hannon. I live at 2929 Wallace Road in West Salem. And I'm here on behalf of this Senate Bill 492 this morning to indicate my full support for the legislation. little bit of history goes back to 1981 when the Oregon legislature created the Boxing and Wrestling Commission. There were 36 counties, about 210 communities that would conduct boxing wrestling events in their community, and each one had their own set of rules and regulations. In 1981, the legislature enacted legislation sponsored by then-Senator Gene Timms from Burns, and it created the Boxing and Wrestling Commission. Little did we understand or begin to realize about tough man bouts, mixed martial arts, cage man fights, and all these other events that have now come along since 1981. And it is for that reason that we're here with Bill this session to change the name of the Boxing and Wrestling Commission to the Oregon Sports Authority. And the reason for this is to give us broader statutory authority so we can regulate some of these mixed martial arts events. We've had everything from down in Medford, where an 18-year-old male was fighting a 14-year-old female. The 14-year-old female was severely injured because of no regulation. We had a mixed martial arts event in John Day, Oregon, at the county fairgrounds, where one of the participants had to be air flighted to Boise, Idaho, with a broken neck and extensive injuries and no health insurance. This is the type of difficulty that we've come into, and we realize that we need to have some regulation to monitor these events and to require promoters to post bonds in which to conduct these events for. What this bill does is attempt to set up a procedure to do that, and it passed the Senate, and I would urge that it be passed here in the House. So with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would be willing to entertain any questions that there might be.
Thank you very, very much, Senator. What we might do is run through our panel.
Sure.
And do questions of all three of you at the same time following that. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Brad Darcy. I'm currently the Executive Director of the Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commission. It's a pleasure to be here today. The Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commission has now been serving Oregonians for 20 years. During that time, the Commission's undergone a number of changes to adapt to new circumstances. Senate Bill 492 will serve to make our controlling statutes reflect the current scope of our responsibilities and activities. The Commission's mission remains the same, but the kinds of activities we find ourselves regulating have shifted to a point not contemplated in our original statutes. Our goal with Senate Bill 492 is to update the authorizing statutes of the Commission to more closely affect the active trends in the industry we regulate and give us sound authority under which to operate. The role of the Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commission is to protect the public and the participants involved in regulating ring sport events. Traditional ring sports include boxing and wrestling. Regulatory activities of the Commission include the enforcement of health and safety standards for the conduct of competitive events. We work diligently to minimize the inherent risks in combative sports. The Commission is made up of a 5-member volunteer board that is appointed by the Oregon State Police Superintendent. The Commission members' primary responsibility is to promulgate rules for regulation. In recent years, we've seen the addition of a whole new ring sport promotion commonly known as mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts is also referred to as ultimate fighting or cage fighting. Mixed martial arts is a sport that combines elements of different fighting styles, including boxing, kickboxing, and grappling. Its original premise was to pit different fighting styles against each other with a no-holds-barred format to see which style was the most effective. The response by many state commissions, including this state, was to work to prohibit these contests from happening. The promoters of these events realized they had a viable product but could not operate without the establishment of rules acceptable by major athletic commissions. As rules were accepted by commissions like New Jersey and Nevada, the sport began to gain widespread and mainstream acceptance. Mixed martial arts has exploded in popularity. Fight fans in Oregon in particular have embraced this new sport. The addition of mixed martial arts has elevated commission activity to an unprecedented level. The Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commission began licensing promoters of mixed martial arts in 2004. In 2004, three promoters conducted 18 mixed martial arts shows. In 2005, six promoters conducted 31 mixed martial arts shows. In 2006, nine promoters conducted 72 mixed martial arts shows throughout the state. To date, mixed martial arts shows have been conducted in Portland, Gresham, Salem, Albany, Corvallis, Eugene, Roseburg, Medford, Grants Pass, Klamath Falls, Bend, Redmond, Prineville, Pendleton, John Day, Coos Bay, and the Dalles. In comparison, the state of Nevada held 20 mixed martial arts events in the same period. These include shows that take place in armories and fairgrounds with several hundred attendees to Rose Garden events with thousands in attendance. The ticket receipts of these events usually range from $10,000 to $70,000. These promotions are beginning to create an economic impact on local communities. Senate Bill 492 is one part of our strategy in dealing with this increase in activity. A primary effect of Senate Bill 492 will be to provide the commission with the authority to regulate amateur mixed martial arts promotions. Currently, the commission has the authority to regulate the conduct of professional mixed martial arts promotions and bouts. Our statutes do not provide the authority of the commission to regulate events that promote strictly amateur competitions. Of the 72 mixed martial arts shows conducted in 2006, 19 of those promotions were within the scope of the commission's current regulatory authority. The promoters of amateur shows are able to promote these amateur fight shows without regulation in place. The commission's goal is to acquire the authority to provide regulatory oversight to these fight shows so that we can enforce some basic standards for health and safety. Without the passage of Senate Bill 492, our amateur mixed martial arts shows will continue to be free to operate with no restrictions. The Oregon Boxing and Wrestling Commission is working hard to meet its original mission to provide effective regulation of commercially driven ring sport promotions. Senate Bill 492 provides the commission an opportunity to continue meeting this mission. I thank the committee and would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Wilson. I'm the Intergovernmental Relations Manager for the City of Eugene, and I apologize that we do not have written testimony today. Although the City of Eugene does support the regulation of amateur mixed martial arts events, we do have some concerns with Senate Bill 492. The City of Eugene's concerned with these types of amateur events so much so that we have enacted the only local ordinance in the state regulating amateur mixed martial arts events. Basically, our ordinance addresses and applies to those participants that are not licensed by the state. After speaking with Mr. Darcy about my concerns on Senate Bill 492, we're not exactly sure whether or not Senate Bill 492 preempts our local ordinance or whether or not it would relieve our concerns at the lack or the gap of a regulation for these types of events. Our purpose was to, and our hope was, that the state would adopt rules that would be similar to the City of Eugene's rules, which we borrowed from other states. Mr. Darcy has assured me that that is their intent. And then our intent would be to get rid of our ordinance. However, when I'm looking at Senate Bill 492 on page 3, line 4, it defines professional boxer or mixed martial arts competitor to mean someone who is competing or has competed for money. That does not include an amateur participant.
Could I interrupt here a moment, please? You said
page 3 of the A. Engross version, line 4, is the definition of professional boxer or mixed martial arts competitor.
Okay, thank you.
And that's been specifically defined in the amendment to mean someone who has competed or is competing for some type of purse, so not an amateur. However, if you look elsewhere in the bill, they use the exact same term. Mr. Darcy claims that the intent was to include an amateur. For instance, on the same page, on line 43, it states, a person may not act as a professional boxer or mixed martial arts competitor, which is the defined term, without a license. Mr. Darcy has indicated that he meant for that to include amateur participants as well, but because that term is specifically defined to not include amateur, we're concerned that the gap that we filled with our ordinance is not being filled with this statute. That occurs over and over again in this. For instance, on page 5, line 21, it says that there is created the Department of State Police, the Oregon State Athletic Commission, which shall regulate the promotion of all, and here's the term again, professional boxing, mixed martial arts. To contradict that, on page 9, line 17, legislative council specifically put in the term amateur. So the Oregon State Athletic Commission shall recommend and adopt without change qualifications for, et cetera, line 17, professional or amateur mixed martial arts competitor. So our concern is that although the intent of Senate Bill 492 was to fill the gap and regulate amateur participants, which the city of Eugene fully backs, that there were some legislative council mistakes in this and that they did not include the term amateur where it needed to be included in order to fill that gap.
Thank you very, very much. Certainly appreciate your testimony. Committee members, questions of the panel? Yes, Representative Gerard.
Yeah, thank you. I actually am quite a boxing fan, so I have concerns that are a little different than the city of Eugene's. Mine, page 4, lines 15 and 16, you're reducing the age to 18 years to be issued a license to box. That bothers me a little bit because middleweights, I think Benitez won the crown, the heavyweight championship crown. I think he was 18 or 19 when he did. I might be mistaken, but I think that's, for me, is a little bit too restrictive. I understand the problems with mixed martial arts, and I could go there with mixed martial arts for sure, but boxing, especially through the amateur ranks and the protection they have in the amateur ranks, I think that might be a little bit restrictive, and I just want to get your opinion on that.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gerard. I would have to say that the restriction to licensing only competitors 18 and over probably was driven mostly by the mixed martial arts competitions. We don't regulate the amateur boxing. That's USA Boxing. And, of course, there's kids that participate in that sport, and that's regulated effectively. It was... like I said, I guess my inclination, I tend to agree that there are circumstances under which a minor can participate as a professional boxer if a commission regulates that scenario as well. But the prevailing opinion was that if we're going to allow that, we would then be allowing that in the amateur mixed martial arts shows. And like Senator Hanner was saying before, we've had 14-year-olds and competing in this sport, and I guess that was a big brush to paint it with, but that's what drove that.
Yeah.
There are kids on wrestling teams all over the place that get into this stuff, and there are promoters that would be willing to let them compete in their promotions, and that's what we were trying to address with that.
A follow-up, just
please.
Just kind of a, I really do hate to paint the same with the same brush boxing and martial arts, because I assume it's totally different sports, and one I really like and one I think probably does go way too far. The second problem I have with the bill, or at least the second question, is on page 10, lines 18 through 22. We're raising a civil penalty from $2,500 to $100,000. Can you explain that for me a little bit?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gerard. Originally, the $2,500 fine, in our opinion, was basically not an adequate deterrent under certain circumstances. And originally drafted, the number was $250, and that's comparable to a lot of other commissions within the country. And we reduced that down to $100 at the on the Senate side. The premise for that, though, is that we do, under some circumstances, have competitors making multi-million dollar purses, and to try and deter them from doing certain things by, threatening them with a $2,500 fine. An example, we had Floyd Mayweather here in 05, and, he's got more than that, on his hand. He drops that on the way to the limo, So if I'm telling him, you've got to follow the rules, or I'm going to charge you a $2,500 fine, or his, or people, fighters like that with entourages, seconds. That's the premise for raising that. We did receive commentary on the Senate side about, the agencies having that kind of punitive authority, and. And so we did reduce it from the 250 to 100.
Okay. I was three rows back on the Mayweather fight. That was a good fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, I think it's the first heavy, or the first title fight we've had in Oregon for, I don't know, it was a long time.
62.
Say 62.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the commission actually is involved in discussions with other promoters. And one of the things that we've tried to do in our policies here administratively is mirror the policies of Nevada. And what it turns out to be is that the Rose Garden becomes more available than some of the casinos do in Las Vegas. And so we're hoping in the near future to actually extend this to get additional bouts and additional weight classes to have those bouts conducted here in Oregon.
Great. Thank you.
Representative Dahl?
I wonder, Mr. Chair, I do have a couple of questions, but I wonder if Ledge Counsel, the concerns from Eugene are concerns of mine. And as I read page 9, lines 14 to 17. I wonder if Ledge Council could give us an interpretation, if Barry would call them and they would come. I think if we could resolve that. And I do have a couple of other questions while we're waiting.
Chair Witt, Representative Dahlem, we'd appreciate that. The City of Eugene would like some clarification. Absent that, we would like our current ordinance to stay in place to fill that gap until we're assured that the state's actually going to fill that gap to regulate these amateur mixed martial arts events.
We'll have Ledge Council, and we'll give you if the chair won't let you ask the questions, I'll come down and get them.
Thank you, Chair Whit, Representative Dahl. So.
He's pretty freewheeling here, so I don't know. We're going to get them done. I would like to ask from the commission, though. We saw it across the floor, I think, Monday or Tuesday, a fee increase for ticket prices. Is there a package of legislation coming from the commission right now? Is this one of many?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, there's two bills. One is a House bill, which is a fee bill, and the other one is a Senate bill, which is this one, and it sets forth policy. Legislative Council directed us to adopt the different measures because the fee bill had to originate in the House. the policy bill we decided to originate in the Senate. And so you're absolutely right, there were two bills, and this is the second bill. There is not a package per se, so as to respond to your question, is there a package? No, there is not a package. There are two bills.
And then the second question is more, is Ted Molinari on the commission? And these are the two bills he and I visit about in his office.
Yes.
I was pretty sure, but I wanted a chance to mention Ted and to clear the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Vice Chair Lim.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. The Senator, glad to see you again here.
Thank you.
It has been
thank
some
you.
Time. Yes. We served together in the Senate at quite a while.
Quite a while. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, my question may be more philosophical. While we are promoting this boxing, wrestling, that the martial arts, whatever, the public views is increase the violence. And do you have any thought that instead of teaching boxing, wrestling, any thought on the how to educate the public? This is not just to increase the violence, but this is a sport. But I don't see any such philosophical teaching. This is a healthy competition, promote health, and strong in mind, but not to harm anybody else. How could we relay that message to the public?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lim, let me say first that when this bill was enacted in 1981, it passed 29-1, and I was the one lone no vote. And the reason I voted against it in 1981 was that we, in effect, shut down boxing in the state, professional boxing as we knew it, because we were taxing every event. The person who was the administrator of the Boxing and Wrestling Commission at the time was actually taxing cable events, closed cable events, on boxing matches. And Magoo's downtown was, in essence, put out of business with their boxing events because they had to pay a high rate of tax to the State Boxing and Wrestling Commission. There became a change in attitude over time to lessen the regulation from the standpoint of raising revenue and becoming more an informative position. What we have seen, Representative, Mr. Chairman, is that human gladiators are being turned into some of these mixed martial arts events. If you would want to know my druthers, I would rather not have that type of event. It serves no real meaningful purpose. It doesn't really show any dexterity of trying to sophisticate, knock out somebody as boxing does and with padded gloves. It has very limited guards and they use feet, legs, kick. It's quite brutal. If it's going to be in existence as a boxing wrestling commission, then I think we need to understand that we want to regulate it. And perhaps one of the things we can do with your help and the legislature's help in the future is to be an information arm to show the people the difficulties and the tragedies that some of these bouts have brought to our state. But it seems to be a phenomenon nationwide. People seem to get their bloodthirsty desires in watching two human gladiators fight to the bitter end. And as I stated, I don't find that enjoyable to watch.
Thank you. Commissioner, can you respond?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lin. You know, in the work that we do, we're every day, to be, you know, we're faced with that question in terms of, you know, the combative nature of these sports that we regulate, you know, causes us to pause all the time. And our mission is to make those activities which have been deemed legal activities and supported in a lot of, you know, there are those that are advocates for these sports, and of course there are people that are detractors. And our role and our mission has always been to minimize the risk of these activities and do it. We're never going to eliminate the risk of these activities completely, of course, because of the nature of it. There are a lot of activities that are legal, of course, in our country that are dangerous and have a lot of those same kind of moral questions attached to them. For our part, our role is to minimize that risk. Our purpose in being here today and with this bill is to undermine the wide open, unrestricted nature currently of these cage fight shows, because it's an easy case to make that that's basically violence, tickets to watch violence. And so what we're trying to do is place restrictions on these sports so that the sport aspect of the activity is what prevails versus the violence aspect. I would speak too on the mixed martial arts component of this. I came to this job as a boxing fan. That's really why I got into this. I, to be honest, didn't realize taking the job that most of what I'd be doing, most of the activity that I'd be overseeing, was mixed martial arts. But as I've gone through that process, I have seen the whole spectrum of it, and it includes the extreme, dangerous blood sport, I guess, aspect of it. But in a regulated scenario, I've kind of evolved my own perspective on this. In a controlled atmosphere, this is a sport that is wildly popular. It's getting accepted mainstream across the country, and in a lot of ways, and I hate saying this, is usurping boxing as the primary combative sport promotionally. You always hear the demographic that finds this appealing, the 18 to 34-year-old male, which from an advertising marketing standpoint is coveted. That's driving partly the sport's popularity, as advertisers are attaching themselves to these promotions and effectively marketing their products. So it's only exploding in popularity, and will continue to do that, and we will just continue to try and meet our mission where we can in minimizing the risk of these sports.
I have one other question.
Please.
Yes, so thank you very much. I appreciate it. But you don't have to answer my question about that. The question I ask is the public perception of reliance on violence, especially the children, when they see that, you know, their mind is programmed, sometimes the violence is okay. But in my point, we need to teach them this is a defensible measure, this is art and philosophy and sports, instead of this is violence. That's my point. Okay. Another question I have, we have hundreds of taekwondo installations in our state. Is this a taekwondo as a martial art or a kung fu, whatever, is under this category supervised under this bill, or that is completely different manner?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lim, we went to lengths to make sure to exclude those styles of fighting from our regulatory authority. I think we actually list that specifically several fighting styles as exempt from our regulation. Our intent is to acquire the authority to regulate what's commonly known as mixed martial arts, which this ultimate fighting or cage fighting. We're not trying to regulate you know, point karate, kung fu, taekwondo, judo, sumo, kenpo, all the other singular fighting styles we have exempted from our regulation. That was an issue raised on the Senate side that no one, including us, wants to have us regulating those traditional styles of martial arts.
Okay, one more question.
Please.
This Senate bill, what's the number, 492, have you consulted with the police superintendent on this bill? State superintendent? What? State police on this bill? Have you consulted with them?
The commission, Mr. Chairman, Representative, the commission submitted these two bills, one the fee bill and this the policy bill, both to the superintendent prior to our filing the bill, pre-session filing, and it was with the approval and the understanding that we would pursue this during this legislative session.
Thank you.
Very much. Additional questions or comments for this panel? I'm not seeing any. I have a question, Mr. Darcy, and the intent certainly is not to put you on the spot, but there have been some questions that have come up regarding the potential need for additional amendments to the bill. Can you tell us, are you familiar enough with the bill to know how it started out as Senate Bill 492 and then what the amendments consisted of when we got to the A version? Thank you, Senator.
I should say no at this point.
Here's the culprit.
Legislative Counsel Charlie Sheen, if you would, please.
You used to be my friend.
Charlie, I want you to know, too, the intent here is by no means to catch anyone by surprise, first by my question, and secondly by Representative Dahlem's question about your interpretation of some language in the bill. If you need some time to study and be able to answer either or both of the questions, we can stand in recess here for a little bit.
Thank you, Chair Witt. Again, for the record, I'm Charlie Chief from Legislative Council. I'm not sure what the questions are yet, so what maybe you should ask them of me now. So.
Okay. The first one that I have is, to set the stage, we've had some suggestions here, particularly from Ms. Wilson, about the need, and some of the committee members, too, about the potential need for some additional amendments to Senate Bill 492. And I'm just curious to know kind of what Senate Bill 492 started out as unamended, and then kind of the progressions of the amendments so that we have a better feel, or at least I have a better feel, of what this bill started out with and what the amendments have meant and what we may need. It helps me with the context thinking about what we may need in the future here, too.
Okay, I think in response to the history and the evolution of the bill to the version we have now is the A in Gross, my recollection of the amendments process was that there were, I think, two issues. One issue was being exactly what was to be included and what was to be excluded from the definition of mixed martial arts. The second recollection I have, and again, I would like to perhaps spend a little time looking at that part of it, but was to deal with the question of whether or not the bill was intended to regulate amateur martial arts activities that were not really mixed martial arts, okay, by definition.
Okay. And I think we had some testimony to that effect here this morning. And then, Representative Dahlem, you also had some concerns.
If you turn to page 9 in the bill, line 14 to 17, the question is, can the commission, through licensure, regulate amateurs with that section?
And again, Charlie, if you'd like a little time.
If you need it seems fairly clear to me, but then I'm used to lining kids up alphabetically. So.
Maybe I can offer a little bit of insight into that issue, because the term, if you look at the definitional section, and on page 3, line 4, professional boxer or mixed martial arts competitor is a defined term, and it means an individual licensed by the superintendent who competes for or has competed for a money prize, purse, or compensation in a boxing or mixed martial arts event. So that's the definition for purposes of the bill of what, if the question was, when we see the phrase professional boxer or mixed martial arts competitor, does professional also modify mixed martial arts? The answer is yes, based on the legal definition on page 3. So going back to page 9, sub 2 in section 14, where it says, the Oregon State Athletic Commission shall recommend and the superintendent shall adopt without change reasonable qualifications for licensure as a promoter, manager, matchmaker, professional boxer, or professional or amateur mixed martial arts competitor. That is for licensure of professionals. Does not include amateurs.
Can I pursue that a minute, Mr.
Chair? Please.
The commission has established rules and regulations, and prize money is involved. Now I have a young man or a young person that wants to get into mixed martial arts. They have not competed for prize money, but the commission would establish rules and regulations that say, and I'll pick some arbitrary rules, you must be at least 4'10", weigh 120 pounds, and be age 18. Those are the kinds of things that they would say must happen before this person, who has not competed before, can get a license. Do I understand it correctly?
I'm not sure if I understand.
What I'm looking at is a screening device before we put a young person into the cage.
Into mixed martial arts?
Yes.
My understanding is that there are not amateur mixed martial arts events as it is defined in the bill. The excluded martial arts, like that list, and Brad can tell you where that list was and how it evolved. Was in the Dash 5 amendments. Let's see what page is it. Page 2, line. It's the, right, in the definition of mixed martial arts on page 2, they excluded, and I'm not sure if this gets to your question, but the definition does not include taekwondo, karate, kempo karate, judo, sumo, jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, submission wrestling, and kung fu. So in my understanding, those are the kind of activities that amateurs are involved in. Now, your question, I think, was whether or not someone who had never competed in mixed martial arts as defined. Is that correct, Representative?
Will the commission have authority to set up a structure that would protect those that haven't been in the game before it licensed it?
For the first time?
Yes.
I'd like a few minutes to take a look and think about that question, if I could.
Okay, fine. And perhaps Vice Chair Riley has some additional questions?
I do. I think that the problem that Representative Dallum and I have is not whether they can regulate when these folks are ready to go into professional mixed martial arts, but as soon as you regulate and say these people can't get into professional mixed martial arts, there will be amateur mixed martial arts events. And the question, I believe, is, and it certainly is my question, does the commission have the authority to regulate amateur mixed martial arts events?
That's a question I'd like to take a few moments to look at the bill and
Okay, and before I recess to give Charlie some time to study this, Mr. Darcy, did you have, I almost read some body language there that maybe you had a clarification that you wanted to make on.
Well, and probably speak to this better after, Mr. Chairman, just, I guess, to reiterate, our intent all along has been to have the authority to regulate the amateur component of mixed martial arts. And I came to this thinking that we had done that with this bill. So Ms. Wilson's exactly right. If we've not gotten there all the way, please don't let us leave without doing that, because right. that's really why we're here. That's really what's driven the creation of this bill. And so whatever we've got to do to make sure of that, I'm definitely in favor of.
Great. It's part of the public vetting that, that makes this all worthwhile.
Critical part, it turns out.
No, thank you, Chairwood. That's exactly what my concern is. Okay. And if we can fix that, that would be wonderful. Thank you, Representative.
Great. And with that, I'm going to recess the committee until Legislative Council has had an opportunity to come back with some answers for us. So, Barry, if you could take us off the record.